the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
It certainly is. Morena Troy, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm very well. You've brought us some great songs this morning. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's all reissues today.
Awesome.
Now, let me tell you about something way back in the day, right, in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
I wasn't born then.
Were you not? Yep.
I know it might look like I might have been, but I wasn't.
No, I didn't think you were. Back then, it was, things were released in this country, but they would be sometimes released months and months after they were released internationally.
Oh, so right. A bit slow.
And in the early 80s, things really were about what was happening now, the time. And so back then, if you wanted things like the new single by The Jam, mm-hmm. you'd have to go and you'd have to buy an import copy of it, which was, I guess for a single, it was probably almost the price of an LP.
Right.
That's so interesting loads. You use them as an example.
It is. Well, the reason I did.
Yeah.
See, oh, the smoothest segues. I love it.
Back then, me and Jeffrey had kind of a casual liking for The Jam. Anyway, so... back in those days, it was really important. Like, okay, there's a new Jam LP. Can we wait until New Zealand puts it out? No, possibly not. Possibly we're going to have to go and buy the import of it. And there was sometimes good reasons to have the import of things. Now, what we're looking at now is the very final release from The Jam, which was a compilation, 29-song compilation, that came out in 83.
Just it's a very butty compilation, getting 29 tracks out of it. That's a nice
guess.
Nice
what time. You had 5 years. The Jam existed for 5 years, and they were so good that not even those 29 tracks could encompass all their good things.
That's awesome.
There was I would say there probably hasn't been a band like them really since then. Anyways, back then it was like you heard about the UK first pressing was going to have a 7-inch with it, and it was like, wow, okay. And now they've reissued it just like that.
So this is
just like we bought in the imports back in the day.
This is like the original imports. This is very cool. Shall I hit this track? What have we got lined up here, Troy?
This was so hard.
We tossed and turned.
We were going to play That's Entertainment because it was the demo version on this, which had never come out in any other way.
Very cool.
And if you just have a glance over at the labels, the New Zealand pressing just had the boring orange Polydor label. Over there. Labels were great.
This is like multicolored Mondrian gorgeousness.
The
it's
pressing
wonderful.
Was great. It was gloss. All of this is reproduced exactly now with the Jam live EP, which comes with it. But let's hit this tune, the final Jam single. This whole comp has been remastered at Abbey Road.
Remarkable how many hits they had, or songs that are recognisable in their own right, if you know what I mean. Like, just looking at this, I mean, there's only a handful of tracks on here that I don't recognise, if you know what I mean. And this, as you were saying, is not even half of it. You know?
It's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, basically, Snap, this compilation, was it was most of the A-sides, a lot of the B-sides, that demo we mentioned, and a scattering of only a few, like a handful of album tracks, maybe three or four.
Yeah. Shall we read these out? Because they are spectacular. We've got In the City, Away from the Numbers, All Around the World, The Modern World, News of the World. They did love the world.
At that point, yeah.
They did, yeah. Billy Hunt, English Rose, Mr. Clean, that's side one. Side two's got David Watts.
Okay, there's the Kinks cover, which was the double A side of which one?
You're looking at me like I might know off the top of my head, but no. A Bomb in Wardour Street.
Yeah, that's right. You've got it correct. That was the other Acer.
Down in the Tube Station at Midnight, Strange Town, A Butterfly Collector, When You're Young, Smithers Jones, Thick as Thieves. Side three's got the Eton Rifles, which was a favourite of mine when I was a kid. I'm not entirely sure why, but it's always gets stuck in my head every now and then. Going Underground, Dreams of Children, That's Entertainment, Start! Exclamation mark. Man in the Corner Shop and Funeral Pyre.
And that was a slightly remixed version for Snap. They weren't pleased with the...
The one that's on here is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
They weren't pleased with how it came out on the 7-inch, so for this 83 comp, they remixed it.
Fantastic. And then on side four, we've got Absolute Beginners, Tales from the Riverbank, Town Called Malice, Precious, The Bitterest Pill I Ever Had to Swallow, and Beat Surrender, which we're listening to. It's like a magazine, this. There's so much info inside it.
Well, that was almost simultaneously, Paolo Hewitt put out a book called A Beat Concerto about the Jam. Paolo was a close confidant of Weller, went on to pen the Cappuccino Kid liner notes for all the Style Council records. But yeah, so that's sort of a modified part of his book, and the photos were from the book. The other important thing the imports had back then is these great picture-inner sleeves.
Yeah, the picture-inner sleeves have got really awesome zine-like graphics, is how I would describe that. Very 80s. And the photos in this are fantastic. There's some great mullet situations going on, and then some great Paul Weller tiny fringe.
Right, I wanted you to be clear that it's Bruce has the hair.
Bruce has the mullet, and Paul Weller has the very, very small fringe.
Because you'd be hard-pressed to find an embarrassing picture of Weller.
He is one of the snappiest-dressed men probably in the world,
yeah,
I would say.
So the Snap hasn't been out on vinyl for a few decades now. I bet you your copy, listener, I bet you your copy has been hammered.
I would say that's probably fair. Have you got a copy at home? Text us 5395. You might need a new copy, and you certainly will want to get this one because it's got beautiful, beautiful graphics, lovely little 7-inch. What's on the 7-inch, Troy?
It's a live EP from the last stretch of Wembley arena shows they did, which
that's
had
awesome.
A cover of Curtis's Move On Up, cover of Small Faces, Get Yourself Together, two Jam tunes, The Great Depression and But I'm Different Now. And those were taken in the final week of the Jam's existence.
Excellent.
Live versions from then. That's with the expanded Jam with the horn section and everything that you heard on Beat Surrender there.
What a group, and what have we got up next?
Well, why don't you hit it?
Which one am I hitting?
It's up to you.
Let's do another snappy dresser, shall we?
All right, let's. Back in 1978, he was a member of a band, but the band hadn't actually recorded anything yet. And was it a band? Or was it an orchestra? This is the great Ryuichi Sakamoto. Now, just prior to the first Yellow Magic Orchestra LP, Ryuichi put out his own album. It was entitled 1,000 Knives of Ryuichi Sakamoto.
I am a big fan of this album. I'm also a big fan of Ryuichi, and he is an extremely well-dressed man.
Now, I'm a little bit worried about what he's doing on the cover, but...
He's sitting in a bubble bath.
Yeah.
Wearing
that's okay.
A lovely suit.
That's okay.
Lovely tie.
But look on the back.
But he's got a lamp in the bath with him, which I'm sure there's like a tag on that says like stay away from water or something, like a hairdryer usually has. But so, you know, he was an art school kid. He was probably trying to make some point or something. Yeah, he went to the, I can't remember what its proper name is, but it's like the art and music school of Tokyo, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now with this record, weirdly enough, it didn't come out anywhere but Japan. This is the first time it's got a release outside Japan. But weirdly enough, we listen to it and we think, oh yeah, Japanese synth music. Most of this record, conceptually, was inspired by China.
That's very interesting. This track is called Plastic Bamboo, which kind of fits that.
Yep. Some of you might think, hey, I've heard YMO doing this. Yes, you have. They did it later on. The album starts with a vocoded voice, and it's Sakamoto reading out a poem by Mao Zedong.
Nice.
And the other thing, like the first YMO record, it was part of the concept was sort of a taking a shot right to the heart of peculiar entertainment things in the West, which were fetishizing something called Orientalism.
Hmm.
So
he's kind of pushing back at that.
No, I think just commenting on it. You know, it's like a ridiculous sort of insidious, low-key racism type thing.
Quite high-key, really.
Yeah. There's another thing on here. You would have noticed that on Ryuichi's debut album, there's a track title in German.
And what is that track?
That would be Das Neue Japanische Elektronische Volkslied.
Now, so that was my way of getting you to do the tricky pronunciation
right.
this morning.
Now, why do you think that? Why do you think they did that?
Sure. Why did they do that?
Well, because it's a, you know, they were aware of Kraftwerk. That is a dedication to Kraftwerk.
There you go.
Yeah. But this record is, this here sounds quite like sort of light sort of synthesizer poppiness, right? I was telling you earlier, my favourite tune, you said this is your favourite tune,
I think,
right?
This is the most accessible tune, maybe, but it is also, it's kind of a banger, as much as you can call this a banger, I think.
Yeah.
Tess is kind of raising her eyebrow at me.
No, it's just smiling. I like that.
See, the one I really like is called Island of Woods, which has no melody whatsoever.
No.
And in fact, not even that many, much harmonic development, but... It's cool. There's a. Was there any other YMO people on this? Yes, there was. Harry Hosono is on this, as is someone who wasn't actually a member but played with YMO was Kazumi Watanabe, who does that shredding guitar solo work on the first and final
Amazing.
Track of the record. It's pretty cool, right?
It's very cool. I was reading about Ryuichi and. He really hates playing old stuff. Like, he can always remember it. He knows what it is. But he kind of is like, you wouldn't make a painter repaint his old paintings.
Well, he's not wrong, is he?
No, he's not.
But having said that, there is... sometimes he will revisit stuff from this record. Like, by the time he was, like, decided his expression was going to be via a classical kind of piano, there was a tune that he did in 1996, which had its beginnings on this.
Mm.
So... You know, he's not a jukebox up on stage. Oh,
no.
Play this one, but yeah, he's not disowning anything he did in the past.
Absolutely not. No, I think he just likes to have a bit of a forward trajectory, maybe.
Well, and why not?
Exactly.
Like Jam did.
Speaking of the Jam, someone's texted in to say that their copy of Snap is well and truly effed, so they're going to probably have to come in and get one. And someone else said, missed the start of From the Crate. Was the Jam album Snap? Yes, it was. They said they bought a copy when they were about 20, so many years ago, still play it regularly. Great compilation, thanks, Troy.
So, who's put out this Ryuichi Sakamoto? Well, our friends in Paris, We Want Sounds, have done this nice reissue. They've done it with an Obi strip. They've reproduced the cover very, very well. I assume that they it's not scanned from another cover, that they had access to the original photographs.
It
it's
looks very
nice.
Yeah, very crisp.
What colour laces is Ryuichi wearing?
He's wearing red laces, which match his red tie.
Yep.
It's all about the detail.
He had good attention to detail. If you actually look at the turn-ups on his jeans, you'll see that he's wearing a pair of 501s with the an exact one-inch turn-up.
I love that you can tell that from just the fit of the jeans.
Details.
He's very, very big on details. All right, next track. What have you brought us this morning?
And the third in our series of reissues for today. This here is from a gentleman who got his start in the 60s.
What a start that was.
This is from 1973. This is Dr. Lonnie Liston Smith, not to be confused with Lonnie Smith, who confusingly plays the same instruments and being keyboards and was active at the same time.
Right.
So Lonnie Liston
That would have been very confusing.
Now, this was the debut solo record, even though it's credited to Lonnie Liston Smith and the Cosmic Echoes. This was just
the Cosmic Echoes has got to be the best band name I've heard in a short while.
Good. You like
it?
This was just after Lonnie Liston Smith had been playing with Pharoah Sanders for, for 5 years. Mm-hmm. He's on Pharoah's records like Karma, and I think he's even on Toheed and Deaf, Dumb, Blind. Anyway, so what you have here is that same kind of astral jazz that that Pharoah was doing on Impulse at the time. This one here is entitled Astral Travelling, and what a hat, Mr. Liston Smith.
He's got a beautiful rainbow knitted beanie on the front, and then on the back he's wearing one that really does look quite a lot like a tea cosy, I have to say. It's like a big yellow crocheted beanie.
Of course, they don't have tea cosies in the United States as a rule.
No. But that could be a good double purpose for this hat, maybe.
I guess. So this record's... oh, there you go. There's the
gatefold. The inside is so good. It's like a portrait. Both sides sort of open out to a portrait of Lonnie Liston Smith. And all the liners are written in portrait as well. It's quite a bit of good info on here.
Yep.
Written by Nat Hentoff. Who's that?
Nat Hentoff was... a lot of people know him just as a writer of liner notes for Prestige.
Okay.
For, you know, a very, very important... commentator on jazz from the early 1950s onwards.
Oh, cool.
He only died last year, I think, or in the last couple of years, Mr. Hentoff. So he wrote the liners. Look into this. This is the point where it starts going really out. Check this.
I'm hearing the cosmic echoing.
Right. So Rachel, tell me who's playing saxophone on this.
Who is playing saxophone on this? It is... Dun, dun, dun. Tenor saxophones are done by George Barron.
Yes, there you go. So George, you don't hear too much... didn't even hear too much about at the time, I don't think, 1973, but a great player.
Yeah, this is some spectacular saxophone.
The bass player, of course, is someone whose name we use that is quite familiar, who played with Farrow and has played with a lot of other people. It's Cecil McBee.
Yes, and we've also got Lonnie Liston Smith on the piano. And the electric piano.
Yep.
David Lee Jr. on drums.
Yep.
Badal Roy on the tabla.
Not on this tune, but yeah, Badal Roy is on the end of this side.
Sonny Morgan on the conga and percussion.
Yep.
James
Mtume
on conga and percussion also. Jita Vashi on tambourine.
No, on tambura.
Tambura.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. And then we've also got George Barron playing soprano sax as well sometimes.
Yeah, not
and,
on this tune, though. No.
Joe Beck on guitar.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So this is really cool. Now, Real Gone Music out of Los Angeles have done this and two albums after this.
Okay.
Of
reissues of Lonnie Liston Smith, or
yeah.
Just okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's cool.
And they've done it. This one here is Tim. Let me see what color vinyl this is.
This is a beautiful spacey blue.
But it's like, I don't want to say see-through, but it's kind of
translucent. Yes.
Yeah, it's marbly.
Marbly.
Yeah. Marbly. That's the word I'd like.
Well, remind us of the three records you brought us in this morning, Troy.
Well, you just heard there from Astral Travelling, Lonnie Liston Smith, and the Cosmic Echoes. There's a hat that Tess is going to be wanting.
Oh, he's got a little, yeah, great hat.
We got we have Ryuichi Sakamoto, his debut album. In fact, his debut that wasn't as a session musician.
Awesome.
And this is actually even before YMO, the 1,000 Knives of Ryuichi Sakamoto. And we started with one of the finest collections of one of the finest 5 years in any band in history. Don't talk to me about the Beatles. This is the jam, Snap.
Thank you. We see where your allegiances might lie there, Troy. Thank you very much for that. And are they on the shelves at the moment?
They are, all three are.
Awesome. We will see you next week.
Thanks.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.